Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. More songs have been sung, and poems written, and movies produced, and books read on the subject of love than any other subject in the English language. And yet, love is often the most understood and mysterious expression in the human experience. We think about love, we talk about love, we sing about love, we write about love, but do we really understand what love is really all about? In 1985, there was a movie made, and it was entitled Back to the Future. And the main theme song to that movie was sung by Huey Lewis and the News, San Francisco-based band. And Huey sang the song, The Power of Love. And the words to the song go something like this. The power of love is a curious thing, makes one man weep, makes another man sing. Change a hawk to a little white dove, more than a feeling, that's the power of love. Tougher than diamonds, rich like cream, stronger and harder than a bad girl's dream, makes a bad one good, makes a wrong one right. It's the power of love that keeps you home at night. The power of love. It is indeed a curious thing. All of us have experienced it in the course of our lives. Even our youngest ones have experienced the power of love in their lives. And yet, to be able to define it, to be able to really comprehend it, to be able to fully express it is beyond us. Because again, there are so many things about us, so many facets to our character and our nature that get in the way of the pure expression of love that it remains a mystery to us. And so we grapple with it. We struggle with it. We pursue after it in hopes that we might find it fully and completely. And yet oftentimes it slips through our fingers like sand. The power of love. Someone said it is the greatest and the most abiding value in all of the universe. The greatest and most abiding value in all of the universe. Jesus said in John chapter 14 verse 23, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and live with him." He said in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this all shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another." In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, the Apostle John tells us that God is love and that all love comes from God. So the Bible gives us some clues about this expression of the deepest and innermost desire of the heart, not only to experience but also to express in obedience, in fellowship with each other, in fellowship with God, in living a life that pleases the Lord God, in living a life that makes a valuable contribution to others. All of these are expressions of love. And yet, it remains a curious thing. Because besides these expressions, there are so many other different expressions of love. There is the love of a man for a woman, and a woman for a man, which is different than the love of a parent for a child, or a child for his parents, or the love shared between brothers and sisters, or a person's love for his dearest friend, or the love that an artist has for his greatest work, or even the love that God has for mankind. All of these are different expressions of love, and yet they're distinct from each other. Love is mysterious. Love is a curious thing. In the Old Testament, there are 18 different definitions and expressions for love. 18 different definitions and expressions for love. In the New Testament, there are 13 different definitions and expressions for love. And if I were to ask you this morning to define love or to give me a clue as to your meaning for love, I'm sure we'd have more than a few different ideas on the subject. Love is one of those blockbuster feelings, motives, expressions. I mean, when you genuinely experience it, it knocks your socks off. When you're without it, it seems like life is empty and has no meaning or purpose. And yet, in the course of life, there are so many different expressions of it. We have one expression mentioned here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. Follow along as I read. Mark 14, verses 3 through 9. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he reclined, this is speaking of Jesus, as he reclined, a woman came with an alabaster vial of pure, costly ointment of spikenard. And she broke the vial and poured it on his head. And some were indignant to themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and be given to the poor." And they were incensed with her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work towards me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you desire, you may do them good. But you do not have me always. She has done what she could. She's come beforehand to anoint my body for the burying. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel shall be proclaimed in all the world, this also that she has done will be spoken of for a memorial of her." May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. Why would Jesus consider this act as one of the greatest expressions of love demonstrated toward him? A love that would be memorialized wherever the gospel is taught and preached. Why would Jesus look upon this simple act of this woman and point it out to the disciples and to everyone else in the house that this woman has done greater by far toward him than anyone else in expressing love? I think for three reasons. First of all, it speaks of the generosity of love. Secondly, it speaks of the humility of love. And thirdly, it speaks of the sensitivity of love. First, let's consider the generosity of love. Whatever your definition of love may be, and whatever you believe your greatest expression of love may be, genuine love gives. Genuine love gives. It's not so much that which is spoken as that which is done toward another individual for that individual's benefit. Love gives. It gives graciously. It gives sacrificially. It gives selflessly. But it gives generously. God so loved the world, what? He gave what? His only Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus, to save us from the power, from the presence, and from the eternal penalty of sin in our lives. He didn't have to give, but he gave his Son because he loves us. Jesus loved us so much, what? He died on a cross. He died on a cross to bear the penalty for our sin, paying the sin debt that you and I owe to God, suffering on that cross. He died to demonstrate God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace toward each and every one of us. He didn't have to die, but he died because he loved us so much. He told his disciples, "Greater love has no man than this, than he is willing to lay down his life for his friends." Now, this woman in Mark's gospel expressed her love toward Jesus through a very generous, sacrificial, and costly gift. She anointed Jesus with very precious and very fragrant oil. How generous was her gift? 300 denarii. How much is 300 denarii? Anybody venture to guess? A year's wages. 300 denarii was equivalent to the average salary of an individual for an entire year. How generous would it be for you to give Jesus a gift comparable to your annual salary? What sacrifice would that be for you? Would that be an expression of your love to the Lord if you should grant to the Lord that kind of gift? What would you give in return for the salvation that He's given you? What gift could you offer to the Lord as an expression of your love in light of what He has done for you as an expression of His love? This woman gave a year's salary as an expression of her love for Jesus. A missionary to India was sailing down the Ganges River. His boat passed a woman standing on the bank of the river, and in her arms, she held what appeared to be a fine, healthy young baby. By her side stood a small, sickly, crippled young boy. Now, this missionary thought nothing of it until a mile downstream, he remembered that Indian women would often sacrifice their children to their pagan gods at this very spot on the river. So he quickly turned his boat around. But when he got back to the place where the woman was, she had already offered her child to the god of the Ganges. But it wasn't the sick and the crippled child that was sacrificed. It was the healthy young infant that was once in her arms. He cried out, "If you had to sacrifice a child, why not offer the sickly, crippled child? Why sacrifice the healthy one?" And the Indian woman looked at him contemptuously, and she said, "We of India are not like you Westerners. We offer our gods the very best." A very tragic story, but a very telling story. There are people all across the world who give their very best to their gods. And it causes us to pause for a moment and ask ourselves, what do we give our God? The true and the living God. Love gives graciously, sacrificially, selflessly. Love gives generously. And yet, we often give the Lord our leftovers. We give Him our leftover talents, our leftover time, our leftover treasures. We wait until after retirement before we ever begin to think about serving Him. We wait until after the day is done before we think about praying or reading the Scriptures or meditating upon His Word. That time when we're often so tired that to sit down for 5 minutes we fall asleep. We often wait until all of the bills are paid, until all of the money is spent for the things that we want before we give God our offering. Do you know, dear friends, in America, in American Christianity, we give the government more than we give to God and to His church and to the ministries of the kingdom of God? We as Americans give more. As American Christians, we give more to our government through taxes and all the other kinds of things. We give more to the government than we give to God. You know, the Bible speaks about giving a tenth to the Lord. as a tithe, and then giving over and above the tenth as an offering to the Lord, as an expression of our gratitude. Do you know that the average tithe of the average Christian in America is 3%, not 10%? We give the beggar man on the street more than we give our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Authentic Christianity breeds a generous spirit. Authentic Christianity, not pseudo Christianity, the false kind of Christianity that you hear about day in and day out, the kind of Christianity that people live as an accommodation to life. No, genuine Christianity breeds a generous spirit, a spirit that is willing to sacrifice, a spirit that is willing to demonstrate extra effort, extra time, extra giving of our resources without complaint, without griping and belly aching and bemoaning, without complaint, as an expression of our love and our devotion to Jesus. Charles Spurgeon, the great pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England in the 1800s, used to preach once a year for his orphans. At that service, thousands would come to hear this master preacher speak on the need to support the orphans of London. Thousands would give generously to the orphanages that his church built and supported. On one occasion, after one of those annual sermons, a jealous pastor in London approached Pastor Spurgeon and says, "Why, Mr. Spurgeon, I thought you preached for souls and not for money." To which Spurgeon replied, "Why, Mr. So-and-so, normally I do preach for souls and not for money. But my orphans can't eat souls. And if they could, my brother, it would take at least four the size of yours to give one child one meal." Genuine love for the Lord and for others is expressed in our generosity toward them. But consider the humility of love, not just the generosity of love. Consider the humility of love. We don't know who this woman is. Her name is not given to us in the text. Some say she was Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus cast seven demons in Luke chapter 8 and verse 2. Some say that she was the adulterous woman that Jesus forgave when the elders brought this woman and said, "We caught her in the act of adultery. What are you going to do about it?" Jesus forgave her. Some say this is that woman. Some say that she is Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. But no one knows for sure. And that's the point. Genuine love gives graciously. It gives sacrificially. It gives selflessly. It gives generously. But it also gives anonymously. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4 that love is not vain. And that's really not a good translation of the Greek text. The word vain, translated vain in your Bible, is perpetuitai, from which we get the English language in perpetuity or perpetual, on and on and on. Something that is in perpetual means it goes on and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. In other words, the expression of love doesn't go on and on and on and on and on. We would say today it doesn't brag about itself, because that's really what the Greek word means. Love does not brag. It doesn't brag about what it does, nor does it brag about the person who does what is done in love. Love expresses itself anonymously. Paul said that love is not puffed up, phusiutai, arrogant. Love never causes one to pat himself on the back for what he has done as an expression of love. We live in a world where everyone wants their 15 minutes of fame. And they'll often do outrageous things to get their names in the papers and their faces in the press. But my mother used to say, "Fools' names, like fools' faces, always seen in public places." This woman wanted no notoriety. She wanted no publicity. She didn't even want her name mentioned. She simply wanted to express her love and her devotion and her deepest and sincerest gratitude to Jesus by anointing him in preparation for his death. Now you notice the response here in Mark 14. She was criticized for this. But even though she was criticized by some of the individuals there in the house for what she had done, Jesus looked beyond what she did and saw the anointing as an act of pure, unadulterated love from her heart. She wasn't doing it for them. She wasn't expressing her love before these other individuals so they could step back and say, "Oh my, what love this woman has." She wasn't doing it for them. And she wasn't even doing it for herself. The motivation for what she had done was to express her love for Jesus. She was willing to spend a year's salary for very precious ointment so that she might give it to Jesus. She didn't care about what other people thought. She only cared about expressing her love for the Lord. What is the motive behind what we do for the Lord? How do we demonstrate generosity toward Jesus? How do we demonstrate generosity toward his people? In what ways do we show humility in our expressions of love toward God and others? Jesus hears the words of the humble and he's honored. He sees the work of the lowly and he's blessed. He knows the heart of the broken and he is moved. Ours is not the ministry of making a name for ourselves. Ours is the ministry of exalting the name of Jesus and doing what we do, not so that others will acknowledge us, but they will acknowledge him. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven." Today there are many who are making a name for themselves in churches and outside of churches. They're making a name for their church. They're making a name for the denomination. But dear friends, our lives are to be lived exalting the name of Jesus. Doing what we do, not so that people will pat us on the back, but doing what we do so that we might lift Jesus up in front of others. Consider, finally, the sensitivity of love. The anointing of Jesus here in Mark chapter 14 was done in the heat of controversy. It was done in the heat of spiritual battle. The elders of Israel were plotting to kill Jesus. Judas had already determined in his heart to betray Jesus. Some saw Jesus as the Messiah, and they were glad that he came to visit in Bethany. Others saw Jesus as a heretic, and they were glad that he would soon be dead. Get rid of him, this troublemaker of Israel. These burdens, and the burdens of the next 2 days that would lead up to his crucifixion, weighed heavy upon the heart of Jesus. But there was one person sensitive to the turmoil that he suffered. There was one person who sensed the gravity of the moment. And it wasn't Peter or James or John. And it wasn't Simon, in whose home Jesus had this meal. It wasn't those closest to him. It wasn't those who honored him by their public displays and their public cries of Christ as Messiah. It was an unnamed woman. In a few short hours, Jesus would be crucified, but this woman saw the shadow of the cross as it passed over his soul. And she was moved by the burden that he bore in his heart. in pouring out this costly ointment on Jesus' head, she was in effect saying, I have saved this precious oil for a gift of love to anoint his body after his death. But he needs it now. He's going to Jerusalem to show his love for me by dying on a cross. But I must tell him now how much I love him. It cannot wait. Dear friends, this is one of the reasons why Jesus exalts this woman as an example to us of how to express our love toward him. All too often, dear friends, we want to wait in showing, in demonstrating, in expressing our love for him. We want to wait until our deathbed. We want to wait until times are better. We want to wait until all of the pieces are put in place in the puzzle. We want to wait until the mood hits us right. This woman said, it can't wait. I see the travail of his soul, and I want to share with him. I want to tell him. I want to express to him how much I deeply love him. It cannot wait. It was a sacrificial and generous, it was a humble and sensitive expression from the heart of a nobody, an unnamed woman, to the heart of the very Son of God. And for that, Jesus was encouraged. And for that, Jesus was supported. And for that, Jesus was lifted up by her expression of love and said to everyone in the house that wherever his gospel is preached, this example, this expression of love would accompany that gospel. Why? Why? Let me tell you the story of an old farmer who every morning on his way to the fields to work would stop by the little country church and spend 30 minutes sitting quietly by himself in that little country church. Knowing that he was a simple man and that he was not prone to open expressions of praise or prayer, a neighbor approached him and said, "Why do you go to this little church all by yourself every morning and spend the time that you spend there? Why do you do that?" Slowly the old farmer replied, "In that church there is a stained glass window. And in that window is the picture of Jesus on the cross. I look at that beautiful window. I gaze, I stare at that beautiful window, and it sets me for my day. I close my eyes, and I think of him dying there for me. And then I open my eyes, and I look at him, and he looks at me. And he knows that I love him, and I know that he loves me." What is the greatest expression of Jesus' love toward me? What is the greatest expression of Jesus' love toward you? That one day he gave his life for you and died a horrible, cruel death on a cross, so that you wouldn't have to experience hell, so that you wouldn't have to experience the punishment for sin, so that you wouldn't have to be alienated from God forever. One day he died on a cross for you. That is his greatest expression of love toward you. That's the gospel. But dear friend, what is your greatest expression of love for him? In what way can you express your deepest devotion, your greatest love? A love that is generous, a love that is sacrificial, a love that is sensitive, a love that is humbling. In what way do you express, in what way do I express my greatest love for him? That I would live today for him. That I would live whatever day God gives me, whatever moment I have, I would live that day, I would live that moment for him. That too is the gospel. You cannot have one without the other. His great love for you and your great love for him is what the Bible is really all about. It's what Christianity is really all about. It's what faith is really all about. It's what love is really all about. He gave himself for me that I might give myself for him. And dear friends, that is the power of love. Let's pray together. Father, whatever we may say about this idea of love, this experience, this expression of love, we cannot ignore what you have said about it. You loved us so much. You gave your son Jesus to die on a cross for us. He loved us so much. He was willing to go to that cross and give his life for us. And you have called upon us, Lord God, to express that same kind of love to you. Greater love has no man than he is willing to lay down his life for his friends. Lord, do we consider you our friend, that we would be willing to lay down our life for you? You've asked us, Lord, to demonstrate our love for you by loving each other. Are we willing to express that kind of love for you by loving one another? Father, there may be one here today who so desires to express his or her love for you. Father, they've been touched by your Holy Spirit. They know today, Lord, that you have loved them with an everlasting love, a love that is beyond their ability to comprehend. And that love was expressed on a cross when Jesus died. Father, I pray that they might come to that place where they realize their greatest expression of love for you is to accept that gift of eternal life and to live their life one day at a time for Jesus. And they're willing to commit today to expressing that kind of love for you. I pray that they will come at this invitation and that, Lord God, they will openly confess their love for Jesus and commit their life to live for Jesus. But Father, we as brothers and sisters also are compelled by your Holy Spirit to continue to express our love for you by loving each other, reaching out and ministering to each other, befriending one another, walk with each other, pray for one another, pray with each other, counsel with each other, minister to each other. And I pray, Lord God, that we today are willing to commit to that expression of love also, that we are willing to live for him who died for us, and we're willing to express that kind of love by ministering to each other as you have ministered to us. I pray, Lord God, your Holy Spirit will speak to every heart today. If sin needs to be confessed, then I pray, Lord God, you will move upon that soul to the altar that they might come and simply lift up their voice to you in confession. If it's the heart's desire to lift you up in praise, then I pray, Lord God, that soul will come to the altar and lift their voice in praise to you. If there is a brother or a sister who needs to go to another here in this room and simply express to them their love and their devotion to them and their commitment to them in Christ Jesus, then I pray, Father, the day will not end until that love is expressed. But Father, I pray you will remind us again and again and again that love is not about words. Love is about being and doing. It's about obeying you. It's about ministering to each other. It's about generosity. It's about humbleness. It's about sensitivity. And unless we're willing to express our love in those terms, then we're not expressing love at all. We give you this invitation, and we pray, Lord God, that our hearts will be responsive to the moving of your Spirit. For I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And amen. Stand with me if you will, please. David is going to lead us in a song of invitation. And as we sing together, dear friend, if you are ready to commit your life to Jesus Christ, if you are ready to express your love to him by committing to live for him, by humbling yourself before him, by obeying him, following him in full fellowship, then I invite you to come. I invite you to do exactly what the Scripture tells us to do, and that is to confess with your lips the Lord Jesus Christ, because you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and the Scripture says you will be saved. That's how much he loves you, that he is willing to accept your confession of faith, cancel out the penalty of your sin, and give you the assurance of eternal life with him in glory forever and forever. That's how much he loves you. How much do you love him? Dear friend, if you've already embraced Jesus Christ, but you know you're not living a life that expresses your love for him, then this is an opportunity for you also to come and to recommit your life to the Lord and to get back on track with the Christ of your salvation and to express to him your desire to walk with him today and every day that you have left on this earth, to live your life as an expression of your love for him. If you're willing to do that, the altar is open. The Lord is willing to receive your recommitment. Maybe your heart's desire is to join fellowship with this church family, to become a member of our church family, to work with us and to serve the Lord here in this place. If that is your desire, you come. If you just need to come to the altar and pray, the altar is open. Whatever your heart's desire is, whatever the Holy Spirit is asking you to do, you do it now as we sing together. David, lead us.
Softly from our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.